That's the message. Go ahead, Richard. Morning. Genesis chapter 8, if you would. Genesis chapter 8. We'll get a starting point here this morning. Again, we're glad you're here. Let's pray together and we'll get right into the message. You mind the Lord now. Our heart's clear. All right. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come just now. And Lord, I need you. Lord, I appreciate the songs and the words of them songs. Lord, I'm glad you're still running after me, and it is in Christ alone. Lord, I thank you for all that, the truth that's been sang here this morning, the praise to you. Lord, you deserve more than we can give you. And Lord, I appreciate the singing, the singers, the songs, and Lord, I appreciate your goodness and your wonderful mercy. I need your help now, Lord, if you would, clear my mind, give me exactly the strength that I need for this hour. Lord, may it not be how I preach, but what is preached that speaks to our heart. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will prove us of sin, righteousness, and judgment as your word promises to do. Lord, I'm asking you to change us today. Speak to every heart. I don't know the condition of no one's heart but my own. Lord, I pray that you might deal with each individual as you see fit. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. Lord, I ask you for power. Touch me fresh, I pray, with thy Holy Spirit power. In Jesus' name I ask, and amen. Again, it's good that we can be here together today and come together, enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I don't know that we can ever count the blessings. There's no way we can count them. They testified there a while ago, just for a few. One night service is not near enough. They talked about the kids. Well, there's more blessings than just that night. There's more blessings than one song. There's more blessings. We can't count them. He's so good in every way. Good to our family. Good to us individually. Good to us as grandparents. Good to us as parents. Good to us as children. Friends. I mean, you just can't beat the Lord in every way. You get to tell somebody about Jesus. You get to see them receive Christ. You get to see people walk for the Lord, work for the Lord. All these things are blessings that God gives us every day to eat on, if you would, along the way. I remember years ago, Brother Rick taught a Sunday school lesson in the old sanctuary, and he had his lunch bucket, and he talked about Marie packing his bucket and provisions on the way. That's what he taught on, provisions on the way. I'm glad this morning that I got a God that gives me provisions on the way to get through these hard places, these valleys, and everybody's got them. These troubles, everybody's got them. These issues, everybody's got them. They disappointments, everybody's got them. But I got somebody who'll give me some provisions on the way that I can enjoy as I travel. And I agree with Liam about them little dancing figurines when the sun hits. Some go up and down real good, and some don't hardly go up. Well, there's a lot of times I can't hardly go up. But can I tell you, that don't have no bearing on how good he is. It's that I don't work real well. He works great. I just don't work real good. But that's what we're here today for, is the worship. I come to worship. I worshiped this morning. I worshiped in the Sunday school hour when the word was taught. When the scriptures read. Last Sunday, people didn't understand. You know, I told Brother Rick, has a good lesson. He said, well, we read right out of 100 scriptures. Hardly nothing. Hardly nothing. Well, the Word of God is powerful, and it changes us. And it's the Word that does the changing. All right, it'll change us. I said yesterday, and I talked with a man who was skeptical and was not even the Word. It would be more intense than that. He had questions. He was confused. Had many questions. And I watched as I read Scripture, not as I talked to him, but as I read Scripture. And this is a person that told me, now I've done read the Bible 3 times. I said, well, wonderful, that's great. But then as I would read the Scripture, he said, well, I didn't remember it saying that. And He said, huh, I was wrong, wasn't I? I said, yeah. And we told him a bit, and I read a scripture. He said, well, I don't remember the scripture saying that.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's there, ain't it? He said, huh. Well, I was wrong on that too, wasn't I? I said, yeah. And everything that he had said, all I did, and it wasn't me, I'm just telling you, what I would have told him was like any other man. But when he seen it in the Bible, he said, huh. Huh. That was these, huh. Huh. Can I tell you, the Word of God will change you if you'll let it. If you'll listen to it, if you'll read it, if you'll let it be read to you, it will change you. Nothing else will. Nothing else will this morning. You're not going to change yourself because you don't want to change yourself, because you like who you are. You're satisfied with what you are. If not, you would find something to change. All right? But if you read the Word of God, it'll change you regardless. It'll break down the barriers in your mind and in your heart. It'll break down the things that cause you to stumble. It'll tear that apart and have you stand right in front of Him. And He'll help you this morning if you'll let Him help you. He will. This Word is real. This Word is truth. It's not a truth. I don't carry a truth in my hand when I carry it, but I carry the truth. It's not a, it's the, it's all. I don't, there ain't no other. There's no other truth other than in your King James Bible in your hand there this morning. There ain't no other truth, all right? Now, first Sunday of the month, we had Friend Day. Big day. I enjoyed Friend Day. Then we had Family Day. Last Sunday, and I enjoyed Family Day. Today's Harvest Sunday, and I've already enjoyed Harvest Sunday. Next Sunday's Homecoming Sunday, one of my most favorite days of the year. Now, I enjoy Christmas services and Easter, but I like Homecoming. I like the thought of homecoming. I like the meaning of homecoming, that this ain't all there is, that there's going to be a grand homecoming. I like groceries downstairs. All right. I like to eat, and I like to watch others eat. All right. That's one. So next Sunday, you're here, but next Sunday's the Sunday you should have come. All right, that's what Brother Rick said. So come next Sunday. All right, you're already here now, so just go ahead and stay. Next Sunday's the Sunday you want to be here, though. All right, that's homecoming, and everybody will bring a covered dish or whatever they got, and we'll just all share and enjoy. I long for the day that there's no separation, that we all be together forever. But now we got Harvest Sunday. Well, what all special about harvest? Well, the Bible speaks a lot about the harvest. Speaks a lot about it, and it would do you good maybe sometime just to go back and read everything about the harvest. But we're going to call your attention to just a few areas this morning, and some of it'll be wonderful, and some of it might not set as well because of the seriousness of the harvest. And what we're going to do this morning, if we can at all, is just examine the harvest. How about that? If you want a title this morning, we're just going to examine the harvest. Examine what the Bible says about harvest. Now, if I'm going to look it up in the dictionary and it's going to tell me this, harvest, well, it's the process or period of gathering crops. Well, that makes sense, right? And if that's all there was, then you say, well, what's the big deal? But that ain't all it is. That ain't all it is. It's also the crops themselves. It's also what's in the storehouse as well, right? So when you harvest, the harvest is the work in it, and then the harvest is the cause of the work in it, all right? And then there's harvest of material things, and then there's harvest of spiritual things. There's harvest of grains and wheats and barleys and things mentioned in the Bible. And then there's harvest of souls, and there's harvest then of judgment. There's a lot of things mentioned in the Word of God. So we're just going to look at a few of them, and we want you to listen carefully if you can. Look in Genesis chapter 8, and we're just going to read verse 22 to start with. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth... I'm getting some... Cut me back a little bit there, Jonathan. I'm getting some squeal. All right? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest... and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, you say, well, that's no big deal. Well, there's a lot I see in verse 22. I can't preach it all today because you don't have the time to hear it. So we're just going to mention it just for a moment about what this verse means. When I see what this verse means, that's the first mention of harvest. There's a rule when you read your Bible study, and that's the law of first mention. You need to pay attention to anything when it's first mentioned in the Bible. It'll tell you a lot of truth throughout, and it'll always stick pretty close to the same thing. But it talks about here, let's look at it again, while the earth remaineth. Now this is the Lord talking, I want you to understand. Now it's all God's Word, we understand that, even when man is speaking, it's God's Word. But God is the one saying this himself. And he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So the first thing I want you to think about is the sureness of the harvest. The sureness of the harvest, because right here is a promise. It says, while the earth remaineth, there's always going to be this. Now, while the earth remaineth, there's always going to be seed time and harvest. That's never going to change. The sureness. And when I think about that, you say, well, why is that important? Because it shows me the faithfulness of God. This verse today don't show me nothing about man. It shows me how big and how great my God is this morning. For it says, as the earth remains, as long as there's an earth. You just mark it down. As long as there's an earth, then there's going to be seed time and harvest. All right? That means there's going to be provision every day. Every day, God's going to take care of us. Every day. Seed time and harvest. Seed time, the faithfulness of God. It don't, here, this verse don't have no bearing on man. It don't say, well, if man does right, there'll be seed time and harvest. No, it says as long as there's an earth, there's going to be seed time. Because God's in control of it. Are you hearing me? I'm wanting you to understand the faithfulness of God. When I think of harvest, it's more than going out here and gathering crops, baling hay, picking corn, picking soybeans, thrashing wheat. It's more than that. It's the provision of an almighty God. What do you need this morning? What do you need? I don't care what it is, whatever you need. God can give you everything you need this morning. The world can give you nothing. The world can't give you hope. It can't give you riches. It can't give you fame. The Bible even says that God is the one that sets man up and puts him down. You're not going to be famous unless God says you are. You're not going to be rich unless God gives you riches. You're not going to have nothing unless God gives it to you. And he's faithful to give you what you need. He's even so faithful, he'll give you a lot of what you want, but he'll always give you exactly what you need this morning. Always. Always. And that's what the Bible says. And while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat. It's always going to be hot and cold, cold and heat. It's always going to be. Just so you know, they know such thing as climate change.
Amen.
All right? There's climate seasons, but there's no climate change. People say, well, you know the Bible says that the seasons will change. No, the Bible does not say that. The Bible does not say in the last days seasons will change. The Bible says that as long as the earth remaineth, there'll be seed time and harvest. And cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It's going to be like that forever and ever and ever. Because that's what he said. As long as the earth remaineth, that's what he said. And he's telling me this that I can trust him. I don't have to get up, oh, is it going to be different? It ain't going to be no different. I'm going to have seed time and harvest. I'm going to have day and night. I'm going to have cold and heat. Can I tell you, it happens. You know what we're going to get this fall? Well, we're going to have some warm days, some cold days. We're going to have some snowy days, some rainy days. We're going to have some dry days. You know, all the leaves are finally going to come off. All the sap's going to run down the tree, get down in the root. Everything's going to lay dormant. Come spring, guaranteed, there'll be some rain, there'll be some frost, there'll be some snow along through the spring, and the sap will start going back up out of the roots into the trees, and they'll bud, and there'll be leaves, and then there'll be time to turn the ground and plant the seed, and it'll come up, and it'll come up little, and it'll come up a little bit. Before long, then we'll pick ears, and lo and behold, we done in fall again and winter again, and it's been like that for the last 6,000 years, and it's going to be like that as long as the earth remains. He is faithful. They sung it. He's faithful. He's faithful in every, if he takes the time to make sure that the outside conditions are taken care of, do you not believe that he'll take care of the inside conditions this morning? And he'll take care of, because there's places in your life this morning, you hear me, that start dying out, and it's dormant, and there's no life visible, and it seems like ain't no sap in you neither, huh? And you'll go through that dry period, but then springtime comes. And when springtime comes, there's some sap that'll start coming back up in a child of God. And there's springtimes in our life all the time, and there's falls and winters in our life. And when that sap starts running up, then it'll bud, and our life will bud and bloom, and there'll be some harvest. I want you to understand, he's as faithful to you as he is the environment this morning. He's faithful to you. He cares about you. He cares about your problems. He cares about your issues. He cares about your sickness, about your loneliness. He cares about your sin, and he would come down and die in your place. He cares about you. And I think about examining the harvest, I can just see the faithfulness of an almighty God. That's why I ain't gonna quit. That's why I ain't going back down. That's why I'm not throwing in the towel. Why? Because he's faithful. Huh? You need him this morning? Do you need him this morning? Some of you going through it. Come to Jesus. Huh? Some of you going through it. Come to Jesus. Some of you lost. Come to Jesus. Huh? Some of you cold in our. Come to Jesus. Huh? He's still the answer. He's still the answer. I can't get over yesterday, Vincent. The man didn't believe that Jesus was God. He was hung up on the Old Testament. And I got to go start going through the Scripture, showing him in the Old Testament all about Jesus. I mean, for 5 hours we sat and studied. We had a blast for 5 hours in this book, and I got to tell him about how the old showed my Savior. And I got so excited. Because everything wraps around him. And it's in Christ alone my hope is found. And when everything was over, he says, He said he is God. Hey, at the first step, I'm going to see salvation in Toby Hodgkins before it's over. You hear me? Listen to me. It's real this morning. And when I think about the harvest of God and examining the harvest, I see his faithfulness this morning. What has he done for you? What do you have this morning? Anybody got anything? Huh? How about your clothes? Where did you get your clothes at this morning? Oh, you say pennies. Nah, no, you didn't. Nah, God got them for you. Huh? Did you have groceries this morning? Hey, you got groceries in your cabinet? Huh? You got anything in your freezer? Got anything in your cellar? Hey, you ain't got nothing to do with that. Huh? He lets you have all that. Huh? He lets you have it all. That's just because he's faithful. You know how I know he's faithful? Because the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. He's faithful. He's faithful. Isn't that not wonderful? Now, I can quit right there and say we've been had enough. But there's more. There's more. There's more that does involve us. See, what I do has no bearing on God. Yeah. At I've told many people this past week. They say, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, that's your privilege, but it don't change the truth. Yeah, that's true. See, I don't have no bearing on God. Not at all. I don't change God none whatsoever. If I don't believe it, so He's still God. His word's still true. If I don't go by it, His word's still true. Huh? If I don't obey Him, He's still God. Huh? He's still real. You think about that. And the scripture says, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, even that when I don't believe, yet He abideth faithful. See, it don't matter. He's still God. I got a constant this morning. Huh? You know what I am on my best day? Huh? If I'm hitting, if all cylinders are hitting just right, my timing's right, and my compression is right in every cylinder, and my valves are clicking, I'm a wicked wretch.
That's right.
Huh? That's what I am. If I'm doing it all exactly right, I'm a wicked wretch. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this old body of old fleshly body?" Hey, I got a faithful God this morning that's going to supply what I need today. Huh? So that's examining the harvest. The Lord's faithful. Now, in all this, then the Lord gives us every opportunity to help Him. He don't have to have us, but He sure does like to use us. And He likes to use us because if He'll use you and me, we'll praise His name. And we'll magnify His name. See, whether you understand it or not this morning, He deserves all the bragging. Not a... You know? I always remember, and I've used it before, I'll tell you again this morning, I always think of Doug Fisher. He got Matthew Gerwig one year at camp meeting, got him up there on the platform of preaching about the greatness of God and what He allows us to do. Matthew fishes or hunts or whatever he can do, no matter what it is, a mud hole or a bucket or a tree or... anything. That's why he's always done that. He got him and he pretended like Matt was a fishing. And he does, this is how we do our kids and this is how God does us. He got there and he helped and he cast the line. And Matthew had the pole. And then seen the pole and he jerked, helped Matt jerk. And then he was trying to reel it in. He got his hands, was reeling. And after he got on, he said, "Matt, look at the fish you caught." But Matt didn't do nothing. He wasn't able to cast the line. He wasn't able to jerk it when it was time to jerk it. He wasn't able to reel it in. But after he does, he said, "Man, look at the fish you caught." That's how the Lord does that. He allows us and uses us and all for His glory and all about a harvest. See, when He's talking about harvest here, He's talking about just the material things that time's not going to change. And then right on through the Scripture, He put so much emphasis on harvest that they would bring the fruit of the harvest to praise His name. They would bring, and at the harvest time, they would bring what they had gathered, and they would offer it as offerings unto the Lord, just to bring Him glory. Yeah. Are you following me? Huh? But then He expects something of us. Because I see the sureness of the harvest. But now, let's look at something else. How about we look at the season of the harvest? See, when we're in the Old Testament, we're talking about grains and barleys and praise to the Lord. When you read the Old Testament, you're talking about time and faithfulness of God and all the things that God allows for us to have. But when you get to the New Testament, it changes. And the New Testament is still harvest, but it switches from secular or commodities, but it switches to people. See, in the Old Testament, as civilization was starting and everything was expanding and he was making him a people, everything was for their production and for their survival and everything. But all that was a picture of the New Testament. Now listen carefully, that we might be his people, and that we might have eternal life, and that we might have everything right with him. Are you following me this morning? So the harvest meaning don't change, but the product changes. For no longer is the wheat and the barley and the corn and all these things the important things, but you become the most important thing. You're worth more than a bushel of corn. You're worth more than a bin of wheat and a silo full of barley. You're worth more than that. You're worth so much that the Lord is interested in you coming to him. Now let's look just for a moment about the season of the harvest. In John chapter 4, and let's look here at verse 34. It says, Jesus says unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, he wasn't talking about cotton and wheat. You know what he's talking about? He was talking about you, and he was talking about the world, and he was talking about people. And let it be known that now is the time to bring people to him, that he might receive glory. See, he gives us a time. Let's go back to Genesis. He gives us a time. That there will always be seed time and harvest. There's a time. Are you following me this morning? And there's a time, a season, that we are to come to him. And it's not in the future. Maybe you're unsaved this morning. And people tell me all the time, well, I know I need saved, but not now. Well, can I tell you that now is the season? The season of the harvest is today. Well, I'm going to go talk to them someday about the Lord. No, the season to go talk to them is today. It's today. There's no such thing as tomorrow. There's no such thing as tomorrow. Huh? I told you the story years ago about the little boys who went to the old store to get their candy. And they was wanting a bag of candy, and it said on the cash register on the counter, said, cash today, credit tomorrow. And they said, well, we'll come back tomorrow and get our candy. And they come back the next day, and they threw their candies on the counter and said, put that on our bill there, sir. He said, read the sign. Said, cash today, credit tomorrow. They ain't no tomorrow. It's today. The season's now. Jesus said that the fields are, to look, the fields are white in the harvest. Can I tell you, the fields are white now. It's time for people to come to the Lord now. It's time for you to worship the Lord now. It's time for you to serve the Lord now. It's time for you to study your Bible now. It's time for you to pray now. It's time for you to live for God now. It's now's the time, not later.
Amen.
Now's the time. That's just the season it is. It's in season. I found out yesterday that it was youth season yesterday. Well, I didn't know it was youth. I got that disability license, and I could have killed me a deer yesterday. But I didn't know it was youth season. All right? Now, there's some people that they're at youth season every day. You know, they kill one every day. All right, but there's seasons by law that come and go, right? But can I tell you, it's always in season to live for God. It's always in season to do for the Lord. It's always in season to reap the harvest of souls. Do you understand that the reason you're here today in this world, in this life, if you're saved, the reason that he did not take you to heaven when he saved you was that he put you in the workforce for him, tending his vineyard, to do some plowing, to do some sow seeding, or seed sowing, and do some harvesting, huh? That's why you're here. We're not here to look pretty, because a lot of us done messed up. All right? We're not here to occupy space. We're here for the harvest. Because every day, it's going to be day and night, and cold and heat, and seed time and harvest, and them things ain't going to change. And today, the season of the harvest is now. See, if you're not saved, you ought to be saved today.
Amen.
The reason being, because you don't know if you'll die today or not. Yes, you need to be saved today. If you're going to work for the Lord, now don't nobody raise your hand in none of this, but if you're getting ready to work for the Lord, when do you allow you might start? Huh? I mean, some of us have been practicing for years. Yeah. You know, we don't practice to go to work for the world. Did any of you ever get up and say, I got a job? Woman, pack my bag. And then go back to bed. And she said, you're not going to work? No, I'm practicing.
Yeah, I see how that works. Huh?
Call your employer and say, listen, I'm practicing. I don't know when I'll make it in. You just mail my check to this address.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. No dumber than what we do. It's no dumber than us having something that'll heal every person in the world. And we practice in our mind. And we come to church and pack our bucket. And then we go back to the house, and next week I'll pack her again. Huh? So I think it just might be in season right now. Huh? We still all right? But now, not only the sureness of the season, or the sureness of the harvest and the season of the harvest, how about the sadness of the harvest? You would think that it would be a joy when harvest time comes, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that? That would make more sense, wouldn't it? Now, you know, the sowing's hard. Years ago, you know, we tried to farm without a farm. You know, you can't farm without a farm. But years ago, Daddy and Daryl and BB and me, we wanted cows, but we didn't have no farm. So we rented coal company property, cleared it off, sowed grass, bought a cow. Real smart, you know. Didn't have no money. We'd plow in the spring and get a kitty, put the money in the jar from plowing, then we go buy a calf, raise a calf, and then we take it somewhere to get it bred because we couldn't afford a bull. And just it was Pollock farming is what it was. Right, and we decided it was good. Everybody said, you ought to feed your cows corn. So, all right, let's feed some corn. So, we didn't have no corn planter. We didn't have no field to plant it in. So, we went and then got permission to plow up the field. We plowed up, I don't know, 5 acres or so. But we didn't have no corn planter. So, we had the bags made and we plowed the ground and disked the ground and laid off the rows with a tater plow. And then we all got in a row and we had bags on it and we hand sowed 5 acres of corn. Covered up with our feet. Go sow, cover up with our feet. Just old hard work. Just work. I hated it. I hated it. I didn't get a plow, so I didn't get to run the tractor. Right, I was a baby. I wasn't going to get to run no equipment. I was lifting tote. All right? But when it come time to pick the corn, I thought, man, it's going to be good. But we didn't have a corn picker. So we all got in our four rows of one row apiece, and we got the truck, and we picked our corn and chucked it and put it in the truck.
Yep.
But we didn't have no corn crib.
Uh-huh.
So everything we done was crazy. Right? So we went and shoveled out the corn in one corner of the barn. We had to move all the hay we put in. Anyway, everything we done was right. You would think the harvest would have been joyful. I didn't care if that stalk had an ear of corn on it or not. You understand? After I'd done two or three rows, I wished the coons and the bear would eat it all. Right? You would think the harvest would be happy. That's my point. But yet the Scripture talks about it not being happy. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Y'all still with me this morning? It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. No joy here. There's no joy here. The harvest is plenteous, but there ain't no laborers. Ain't nobody willing to pick the corn. Huh? Can you imagine the prayer request that Jesus has here? He looks at his disciples and says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I don't see no joy there. I see sadness there. I see sadness when there's nobody to harvest what's ready. Are you following me this morning? Who's supposed to be doing all this labor? Huh? Who's supposed to be doing all this corn picking? Huh? You know, I did not tell Dad I ain't picking that corn.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe one time.
Yeah, I didn't tell Dad I wasn't picking it. You know, B.B. and Daryl, they didn't say, hey, boy, this is too much. No, it was expected of us.
Yeah.
Don't ever remember having a family meeting, and Daddy said, now listen, we got corn now. We got to get a plan here to pick it. What they said was, we're going to pick it Saturday. We're going to start here, and when we get done, we're done. They wasn't no, are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you? They wasn't nothing. It was always expected. See, when it was hay cutting time, it was expected that you be there to put up hay. When you planted the corn, it was expected that you plant the corn. When it was time to harvest, it was expected. Because why? Because you was part of the family. But the sadness of the harvest is there's no workers. That's the sadness. But they're still packing their bucket on Sunday. Still packing their bucket on Wednesday. Practicing. Getting filled up. Making sure everything's in order. Getting gas in her tank. Are we following? Then I see the separation of the harvest. See, it goes with the sadness. I see the shortness of the harvest, the season of the harvest, the sadness of the harvest. But the separation of the harvest is really sad. When I look in Matthew 13. Everybody still with me? Let's just read here just for a moment. Can we start in verse 24? It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servants said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat in my barn. See, there's a separation at harvest time as well. When harvest time comes, we try to pick and choose and judge and say who's right and who's wrong and who's saved and who ain't and who's gone and who's not gone because this one don't look quite right and that and don't act just right and this one. But can I tell you, the Lord said just leave everybody alone. He'll handle it. He'll handle it. And when he's going to handle it, he's going to handle it when harvest time comes. And there's going to be separation and there's going to be some tares that's going to be separated. Now they were sown in amongst the wheat, and it would take a good eye to see what was tares and what was wheat.
Right.
A lot of times they're so knit in, the unbeliever with the believer, it's hard to separate. So much that if you tear up the unbeliever, it's going to ruin the believer. So the Lord said, just let it be. I'll sort it out. And there'll be a separation then when he comes and the tares are bundled up and burnt. And to hell they go and the believer goes to the barn. Can I tell you, it's a serious thing this morning when we talk about the harvest and examining the harvest. Is everybody still okay? See, everything in the field ain't what's supposed to be there. You understand? Everybody that says they're saved ain't saved. There ain't no evidence that you're saved. You know, wheat and tares look the same until they go to bloom. Then there's a difference. When it comes to produce something, tares don't produce nothing. They're just weeds. And if they produce anything, it's just more weeds. Are you following me? But there's separation at harvest time too. We're just talking about examining. Huh? How about the seriousness of the harvest and we'll quit? When everything's said and done, man, there's going to be a harvest that it ain't going to be good. How about Revelation chapter 14, verse 15? Here, verses 14 and 15, we're looking at Armageddon. There's a lot of talk about last days and what's going to be in the future and the Battle of Armageddon, the World War III, everybody's talking about all these things with the politics and the media and Hollywood. And I'll just go ahead and stick to my Bible. And it says in verse 14, Revelation verse 14 says, And I looked and beheld a white cloud upon the cloud, one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. There's a harvest coming of judgment. It's not going to be good for those who have been left behind. See, some people don't believe in hell. Some people believe that there may be a place you go to like heaven, but A lot of people think hell's here on this earth. Talked to some this week that they believe hell is this earth. Hell is their problems. Hell is the heartaches of life and the sicknesses and the terminal illnesses. And that's not hell. But can I tell you that's not the judgment on this earth either. See, when the Lord sticks a sickle in, it ain't gonna be dust that comes out. With blood and guts when he comes. See, the Lord's coming again, and he ain't happy when he comes. Now, when he comes in the air and calls us to meet him, we that are saved, that's going to be a wonderful time. But when he comes and sits down on this earth and goes clipping off heads, and that may be a little rude or crude, but can I tell you, when he comes again and sets his feet on this earth, he's not coming to pat you on the head. He's coming to take your head off. It's not going to be a good thing. And the only thing that's going to spare you is that you be saved now. Huh? See, we're talking about when I examine the harvest. I mean, I can get deep in a lot of things on when it comes to planting and all that. That'll be good. But that ain't where we're at this morning. See, there's some laws about the harvest you need to understand before we quit. Here, honey, you're going to piano. There's some laws about the harvest, and it goes with not just harvest, but it goes with sowing as well as harvest. And I'm not trying to be a negative or preach down. I'm going to preach you the truth. I got one chance today to tell you the truth. I may not have another. You know that? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he reap unto the flesh, he shall the flesh reap destruction. If he sows unto the flesh, he shall the flesh reap corruption. If he sows unto the Spirit, he will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. All right? Let me tell you something you need to think about reaping and sowing and harvest time. There's some rules. One of the biggest rules you need to think about this morning is that you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to harvest what you sow. You're going to harvest exactly what you sow. You're going to harvest more than you sow. Exactly what you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow. Because it'll multiply. But the last rule you need to remember, you'll not reap at the same time you sow it. Are you following me this morning? You'll not reap the same time you sow it. And my life follower us. You may think everything's fine now and perfect. Down the road, when harvest time comes. I love to raise a garden. I raise one every year and will as long as I'm able. But I never pick peas the day I plant them. Stuck in the ground. They was a waste. I put three kernels of corn in a hill of corn. Three stalks will raise, and I'll have 3 to 4 years on each stalk. Multiplied by them three little grains I put in, and look at all the other kernels that come later. I'll reap more than I sow. See, I'm talking about examining the harvest this morning. The greatest thing about the harvest is the Lord is faithful. And I see I need the Lord. But the Lord has needed some things. You know, when Jesus told the disciples to get ready for the Passover, well, I reckon he was going to ride in. He told them, said, there'll be a donkey up there. He said, you go tell them that the Lord has need of them. He could have made a donkey. He could have just said, y'all turn your head. And he just made one, showed him how to say, use this one. He said, go tell that fellow the Lord has need of him. I'm looking at a bunch of donkeys this morning. The Lord has need of you and me both. He'll use us the same. Be all right this morning. Talking about harvest. Let's stand together this morning. Won't you search your heart? If you're not saved this morning, won't you come? Repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. If you've been slack on labor, when there's corn to be picked, you gotta repent. Get back in line. Quit practicing. Quit practicing. Won't you be a little concerned about the separation at harvest time? You come as God speaks to your heart. Let's sing right now. 200